Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc. All rights reserved.
We're back. 12 after. I'm Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate. Thank you very much for hanging around with me, and I'm excited about having Phyllis Martin back on the show, folks. The only problem we have with Phyllis is I don't know where to begin to tell you about her. She is such a renaissance woman. She does and has done so many things. She's a human resources expert. She's a radio talk show host, which makes her a pretty special person right there. She's a columnist. She's an author. She's just an incredible – she has an incredible mind, and we couldn't do without her. Her book, Word Watchers Handbook, is now in its third, at least maybe fourth edition. And it sold something under a million copies worldwide. She's our good friend, Phyllis Martin. Welcome back.
Oh, thank you. Good to be here.
It's good to have you back, as always. By the way, folks, this word, but you know what a dictionary is, don't you? Well, this is not a dictionary. It's a deletionary of the most abused and misused words, and it's a requirement for every library.
For every small business person.
That's exactly right. And in a little bit, we're going to tell you how you can get the book. Phyllis, one of the things you want to talk to us about today is something that's very critical, more critical than maybe small business owners realize, and it's how to get rid of, how to avoid, how to resist the time thieves.
It's this is an increasingly bad, bad problem. But the enemies of time, I think we have to recognize what they are. And do you know what the survey has shown?
No.
That lost items provide more unproductive time than almost anything you can do.
Not lost so time, lost items, things that we lose and we hunt for.
Oh, absolutely. Mm-hmm. Do you ever do that?
All the time. You know what, Phyllis? I don't lose things like my – I don't lose my watch, I don't lose my keys, I don't lose my billfold. But I do one of the challenges that I have around here, and it's my fault, is getting my hands on the stuff in my business that I need when I need it.
Oh, I can imagine. Well, every writer has that problem.
Yeah. And I used to, and you know, for somebody once, I used to really beat myself up, and I'd kind of, you know, complain to my folks here, and I'd say, you know, we got to do a better job. And finally, somebody said, Jim, you just have a lot of stuff. And I think maybe they're right about that.
I think so. And I hope you label everything. And I hope that you label or put a date on every piece of paper that comes across your desk.
We're trying to do a better job of that, Phyllis. But we're not there yet. Maybe we need you to come down here and get us organized.
Oh, I'd love to do that.
We'd have too much fun.
You know how I love where you are located in Alabama. That's one of my favorites.
We have too much fun. We probably wouldn't get much work done, Phyllis. What about, let's talk about some of the things that steal our time.
All right, fine. One of the things is that we fail to set goals. We don't really know where we're going. So I think we have to set long-term, mid-range, short-term goals. Mm-hmm. And I think what we have to do, too, is quit these unrealistic promises that we sometimes make. Mm-hmm. We're put in a corner. Someone will call and ask you to do something. And the answer to that is always, if you need an immediate answer, it has to be no. Because
right.
You have to think over what you're going to do.
Boy, that's hard to do, isn't it? It's hard to turn people down, isn't it?
Oh, it really is. And I think particularly in business that the business person likes to promise things when you think the customer wants it. So you have to be very realistic about that and promise mm-hmm. everything a little later than you can deliver it. And that way you're always early.
Give yourself a little bit of a hedge.
Oh, you have to. Mm-hmm. And one of the things that my mother taught me is to always plan your worry.
Wait. Plan your worry?
Yes, absolutely. And it works, Jim, and I hope you'll try it.
What is it? How does he do that?
Well, she would write down on the calendar everything that she was going to worry about on Wednesday. And that was the day. And what happens is that when you come around to Wednesday and you look at all those things you plan to worry about, so many of them are unimportant. Mm-hmm. And you just pitch those.
That's death funny.
And divorce, you can do it any time.
Right.
But I'm very serious about planning your worry because it does help you.
So you're saying that if I've got something that's due a week from Friday, that I shouldn't start worrying about it now. I should maybe put it on the calendar to start worrying about it next Monday?
No, next. Well, choose your day of the week. I'm a Wednesday worrier.
Oh, I see what you mean. In other words, you're saying one day a week, that's your worry day.
That's my worry day.
I see. Okay.
I promise you and everybody who's listening that you will look at that calendar on the things that you had planned to worry about.
Yeah.
And you can get more sleep because you know that you're planning ahead to worry on that
mm-hmm.
day. So you don't worry about it at night. You go to sleep. God's awake.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I hadn't thought about that. I hadn't thought about having a worry day. I'm trying to figure out which day I'd have time to do that in.
Well, you need to start your day, your week fresh, so I wouldn't suggest Monday.
Monday's not good, right. So Wednesday's probably
a good day.
What are some other things that we need to remember about time?
Unnecessary email. And always that hard to cut down on.
Oh, boy.
And you can tell those who are sending you too much email that you read it only on Wednesday or whatever day it is. So don't send me too much. And sometimes try to take those people off your list.
Well, and you know,
you know
what happened? One of the first examples of that for me when I got on email low those many years ago was people would send me jokes. Well, I love a joke as much as the next person, but I just couldn't read them. And so I finally would send my friend, respond to my friends, and I said, no offense, but let's get together and have a cup of coffee, and you can tell me a joke, but don't send me any more jokes.
Oh, great. And keep yourself off others' email lists. If you don't have to give your email address, don't.
Unless,
as guarded with that as I am with telling my age.
Well, and unless you really, it's something that you want, and this is something that's very important, you're exactly right, is make sure that you want to be on the list of the people that you give an email to. But also remember that if you give somebody an email address, then a lot of people will assume that just the fact that you gave them an email address in the form that you fill out, a lot of people will assume that gives them the right to send you stuff, even though they didn't say specifically, can we send you stuff?
Oh, right. I'm glad you mentioned that about the forms that you send, because so often they'll ask for an email address, and I'm very guarded about giving it.
Right. Well, and let me say this: if you give it to them, expect to get email from them, because an implied opt-in. That's an implied permission by a lot of people. Whereas, when you take somebody like myself, if I know your email address, that doesn't mean anything to me. With regard to our publication, only if you say, send us your publication, do we do that. So, but for a lot of companies, that's not what that means. It means if you give them your address, to them, that means that they can send you email. Let's take a quick break. It's 20 after. We'll be right back with talk about more time thieves with our friend Phyllis Martin, the author of Word Watcher's Handbook. Back at 23 after. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate. We're visiting with Phyllis Martin, the author of Word Watcher's Handbook. And Phyllis, I want you to tell us how we can find your deletionary of the most abused and misused words.
Well, thank you, Jim. Almost any bookstore in the United States and abroad, by the way, can order that book. But the easy way is to order it through Amazon.com, Barnes & Noble, iUniverse.com.
Right.
It's a print on demand. You mentioned that it's a third edition, and it is, but this is the 15th printing.
I know. It's incredible.
Isn't
that
something?
I'm not the least bit surprised. And folks, it's called Word Watcher's Handbook by Phyllis Martin. No funny spelling, just like you think it would be spelled. And just check it out when you get a chance. And it's something that it'll open your eyes about how to communicate the words that you use, and it'll let you know that sometimes the words you use might be holding you back. The words that you misuse, I should say, might be holding you back. But let's get back into the time thieves. By the way, your column, is this still coming out in the paper? Are you still doing that?
No, it's coming. I'm doing a radio show now twice a week.
Oh,
and
you're still
keeping me busy.
You're still doing the radio show, and that's in the Cincy area, right?
Well, no, you can get it anywhere.
Oh, that's right. It's online, too, isn't it? Yeah.
Oh, yes. Yes.
All right, tell us about that.
You can, actually, if you want to do it on the computer, it's streamaudio.com.
Streamaudio.com.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's the easiest way.
Okay,
yeah.
All right.
And it's on Tuesdays and Fridays at about 11:30, 11:35, and it's on word watching. You're right, Jim. Linguistic lemon, she's trying to say, can sour any kind of a relationship or certainly hurt your business.
Mm-hmm.
So I hope that every business person will read it and try to train your staff. In fact, I think if you don't train your staff, you're in real trouble. And if you think training is expensive, you ought to try ignorance.
That's exactly right. No question about it. That reminds me of something that Mark Twain said. He said, the man who doesn't read has no advantage over the man who can't read.
Oh, absolutely.
And that reminded me of what you were just saying. Let's talk about some of these time thieves. Before we get into some more of the specifics, Phyllis, I think it's important to point out that there are two kinds of time thieves. One is the kind that you know immediately on its face that this is going to steal your time if you don't watch. And the second one are the insidious ones that sort of creep into your life, and before you know it, they've stolen your time, and then you sort of get irritated at them in afterwards rather than before.
Well, you know what my darling husband suggests? If somebody asks if you hey, do you have a minute when he's trying to break into your office or something?
Right.
You say yes, I do, and then you start the timer.
Yeah. No question
about
it.
Getting back to the serious subjects, I think we have to organize our telephone time.
Mm-hmm.
And that's very hard to do. One of the things that I do that helps me, because I love to talk anytime on the phone or anywhere, so I do have telephone sheets, and I plan the call before I make it, and it's enormously helpful because you're going to encounter this technical voice on the end that is not the real live person. And sometimes we're in shock. We think we're going to talk to a person. We know what we're going to say.
And then we go,
we aren't prepared to leave a sensible message. So I think we need to think, now, if I don't get this person, this is what I need to say, A,
mm-hmm.
B, C, and say
mm-hmm.
it quickly, succinctly, and give your number very quickly if you want them to call you back.
Right. Another thing that that I think we can do to help other people, maybe to help us, is, you know, there are people who don't know how to say goodbye.
Oh,
they don't know how to hang up. Have you ever noticed that?
Yes. Oh,
you know,
yes.
And you know, I mean, I'm like you. I have, you know, I have things I want to say, and I talk to a lot of people. But one of the things I think I've learned how to do is to ring off, is to say, you know, hey, I'll let you go. See you later. But a lot
Good.
Of people just can't do that. They can't walk out the door. They can't hang up the phone.
Yeah. Which is why it's very smart sometimes to initiate the call yourself, because then you can terminate it easily. And this also happens if you have a business meeting. It's better to do it on the other person's turf, because it's easier for you to leave than it is for you to get them to leave.
Well, you know, another thing that I do, whenever I know that a person like that is going to call me or is calling me, I tell them up front. I say, you know what, yeah, but please forgive me, because in about 8 minutes I'm going to have to go.
Oh, good.
And then I warn them in advance, and then in about 8 minutes I say, or whatever, 5 minutes or whatever, I say, hey, you know what, I warned you and I'm going to have to go.
Absolutely. Set goals, set targets.
Mm-hmm.
And I think you have to help those in your office learn how to answer the phone for you. You know, there's been a study, and they say that it costs $7 to have a live person answer the phone.
Mm-hmm.
And, Jim, I think that may be a bargain.
That's a good investment, isn't it?
Yes, it is. Because think of a $100 sale. You may make more than $7 on that sale, and if the customer has talked to a live person, they like your company better than if they get this thing that says, if you want this, dial whatever.
I don't understand small business owners who have those kinds of computerized answering machines. Folks, could I
have
said it any plainer, any more emphatically? I don't understand that, Phyllis.
I don't either, because you have to figure the cost. I won't name the company, but I tried to order something from a company, and I was put on so many things I couldn't explain. What I wanted it to deliver to a mm-hmm. child of mine.
Yeah.
And there was no button that served that.
That's exactly right. And you know what else? It cost me time, and I don't like that when I call those people. Phyllis Martin, thank you for being here. Good job today. Thank you for helping us with some of these time thieves.
Oh, thank you for having me, Jim.
We'll see you next time. Phyllis Martin, ladies and gentlemen, Word Watchers Handbook, wherever books are sold. Quick break. I'll be right back with our new friend, Barry Moats. Joe Cocker will take us out.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.